And so if you're not a part of a church, you don't have a church background, essentially the story has gone like this so far, that the people into which Jesus was, the world in which Jesus was born, they had gone through a period of about 400 years, as far as we know, of silence. God, we have no written record of him communicating to the people. And so for 400 years, they had wondered, is God going to show up? When is he going to work? God broke the silence when he appeared to a guy named Zacharias. Zacharias was able to hear from God. God spoke to him through this angel Gabriel. From that, we saw last week that Mary heard from the same angel Gabriel. And the thing that we've been focused on in these weeks is this idea that there are times in our lives when it seems as if God is distant, seems that he's not speaking. But in those times, we saw through Zacharias, we need to continue worshiping while we're waiting. We saw through Mary last week that God is with you when you are without. That even in those times where we don't see what God is doing, we don't know what he's up to, we can trust that he is present with us. And so this morning we're going to continue. If you would, let's pray together as we open up the word. Father, we thank you this morning for Jesus, for his birth, for his coming. And I just pray that this morning would truly be a time of celebration. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I've read and been told that in the outback of Australia, there are two ways that they can herd or manage sheep, cattle, livestock, various things. One thing that they can do to manage their livestock, their sheep, is they can build fences. And so in the outback of Australia, if they build a fence is a good thing to keep the sheep in and to keep the bad things out. The problem is, if you're in Australia, it's hard to build fences everywhere. And so they can't build fences all the time. And so the other way that they can work with and contain their sheep in the outback is not just to build a fence, is to dig a well. And when they dig a well in the outback, the idea is you're not just keeping something in, you're drawing something close. So whereas fences are good to be a barrier, fences are good to show are you in or are you out, wells are good to draw things close. And if you think about that picture, that image, there's really two different ways that you can think about God. Some of you may think about God as being more of a fence builder, and his primary agenda for you is to keep you inside the fence. And so God's fence looks like this. He has given you rules. He's given you commands. He's given you the scriptures. So God has given you these fences and these rules, and his primary concern for you is you would be inside his family, inside his kingdom. And fences are good. But here's the problem. If all you have is a fence, you can starve even though you're inside of the fence. And so I want to share with you this morning, as we think about the birth of Jesus, that God is not just a fence builder, he is a well digger. What God did in sending Jesus into this world is he dug a well, not just to make sure that we stay in, but to make sure, and here's the key, that we draw close. If you'll open with me to Luke chapter 2, we're going to begin in verse 1, and we're going to work through all the way down to verse 16. But as you get ready to open up and to read this scripture, the question that I want to ask of you is this: how are you most prone to viewing God? Are you most prone to viewing God as if he's a fence builder? And so his primary agenda for you is to make sure that you stay within the fences, you're inside his family, you do the right thing, you avoid the wrong thing. And if all you have with God is the kind of relationship where you think that he's drawn a fence and he wants you inside, but you're not drawing close to him, chances are this morning that you don't feel close. Chances are this morning when you think about things like prayer, when you think about this idea of having communion or a connection or any kind of interactive relationship with God, that's probably really hard for you. And it may very well be that you haven't considered and realized that God doesn't just want to build a fence. He wants to dig a well. And that's really what Jesus' coming is about. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, we read these words. It says, "Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, if we stop right here and I ask you the question, how many of you have heard this story? How many of you have heard this story read? You have read it to your children. If you grew up and you were in this thing we know as Sunday school, you have heard this story. Here's what I firmly believe. One of the things that we miss about this story is the significance of Jesus coming. And it's one thing to think, okay, God appeared to Zacharias some 2,000 years ago, and he spoke to him to draw him near to God. It's one thing to think, okay, God appeared to Mary through the angel Gabriel to communicate to her that he was with her, that he was favoring her. It's another thing entirely, and this is the thing that I believe in your enemy, the devil, would want to keep you from, is embracing that this story is not just for Zacharias. This story is not just for Mary. This story is for John and for Jim and for Joan and for every person who is here today. This story is for us. And so we continue and we see a portrait of how this story was not just for the super spiritual people. This story was for every person. In verse 8, notice who God appears to next. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news." Can we just stop and say good news together? I bring you good news. Sometimes Christians are known for not bringing good news, so it's good that we remember the story of Jesus was to be good news for the whole world. So I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Notice all the people, not just a restricted minority, not just the remnant that continued to seek God, that worshiped while they were waiting, but for all the people Jesus has given. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, can you just pause for a moment and try to envision what this would have been like? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. So God comes and he presents this picture through Gabriel of what he's up to. And I want you to see the response. He's appeared just to common shepherds, people who would have been just the normal people of the day. And I want you to see how they responded. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Notice they did not say, well, God has appeared to Zacharias. God has appeared to Mary. God has appeared to the super spiritual people, and I'll let God connect with the priests, and I'll stay out of this. Verse 16, so they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. The thing that I want to show you and pull out from this passage is that Jesus drew near to us so we could draw near to God. The Christmas season, the thing that we call the incarnation, God in the flesh coming and dwelling among men, really is about the fact that we couldn't get up to God. We couldn't climb to Him. So God sent Jesus down to us. And the thing that I want you to hear today, and God willing, embrace today is this idea that Jesus didn't come just for the spiritually elite, just for the religious people who have everything together. Verse 10, he came for all the people, and this is good news. This echoes what we find later. This little baby Jesus would grow up. Luke, the same writer who's writing here in chapter 2, will record later in Luke 15, 1 and 2, that the tax collectors and sinners. Now, whoever you would look at in society and you would say, those people need Jesus. Maybe a political group, maybe a different belief system, whoever it is. Those were the people who were drawing near to Jesus. Jesus came near to us so that we could draw near to God. Jesus in Luke 14 will say to people to communicate his heart to draw people to him. Luke 14, he says that in reference to this, this parable he's telling, that there was a master of the house who said to a servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city. Notice, bring in the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And so the servant said, sir, what you commanded has been done and there's still room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. This little baby Jesus, John chapter 10, will find him saying that I speak to my sheep hear my voice. I will gather them together as one flock. I will draw them near. This baby Jesus will grow up in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. We'll hear him saying, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. The thing that Jesus did for us is not just build a fence. He dug a well. He came to us, the people in Jesus' day, they had a fence. It was called the law. And as we saw Matthew 5, 17 through 20, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus didn't come to lower God's commands. He didn't come to tear down the fence. He came to build a well, to draw people in. Because the truth is, you can have a good, strong fence. You can have right beliefs. You can have right doctrines. You can be doing the right things and avoiding the wrong things, but be spiritually starving. Because you have this sense, this idea, understanding that what God really wants for me is to be a good moral person. To stay within the boundaries, to check off the boxes and do everything that I'm supposed to do. And one of the things that I believe God would speak to us through the birth of Jesus is this reality that he's not satisfied with you just having a good strong fence. He wants you to draw closer to Jesus. That Jesus is a well. He is the source of life. He is the source of nourishment. He is the one with whom we commune. You see, the reality again in Jesus' day is that these people, in having the law, having God's commands, God had erected a fence. The problem is that the people were not very good at staying inside the fence. Here's what, if you don't mind, I can confess for you. I can confess for me, we're often not very good at staying inside the fence either. Oftentimes it's the case that we break the law. We go outside the bounds of the fence. God says to us for our own good, I'm establishing boundaries, I'm establishing commands, rules for your own good and for your own safety. It's not that a wolf has to come in and snatch us, it's that we just, for some reason, willingly want to go out at times. And so if in your relationship with God, you think primarily through the lens of or in terms of, okay, God wants me to be inside the fence. I know that I'm inside. I'm part of his family. I would say that God's not satisfied with you. Just saying, okay, I know that I'm in his family. The question in the heart that God really has for us is to be drawing near to him on a regular basis. When we're in times of hurt, when we're in times of pain, it's not fences and answers and certain rigid doctrines that we need most. It's the presence of Jesus drawing us close. And so in this Christmas season, it may be the case that the thing that you need is not more answers. The thing that you need is not somebody saying to you more shoulds or should nots. The thing that you need more than anything is this understanding that God's primary concern for you is that you draw close to Jesus.
I shared a bit last week about the situation going on in my personal life, and ask you to kind of come along and pray with regard to my mom. And so the backstory, the story that I shared with you this morning, is that there are some positive developments that are taking place, and she's in a rehab facility, which is good. A number of people who have asked, and so we're seeing positive things happen. But one of the things I didn't communicate in the midst of all that last week was that growing up, my mom was an incredible mom. And one story I remember in particular is that we were at a theme park, and theme parks in the summer, you know how much fun those are if you're an adult, right? We've begun to experience that some taking kids, and so there's asphalt everywhere. It's hot. It's miserable. If you're in Oklahoma, it is anyway. And so we're at this one particular theme park, and I went into this thing. They don't have them anymore. Thankful to God for that. It was a large dome, and inside this dome, there was a large screen, and they placed you basically right in front of this screen, and it was like a 3D type thing, except it was before the days of 3D. They just put you so close that it felt like you were there. Well, I went into this big dome and watched this roller coaster ride, and I got as sick as could be. And so, you know, I'm 7, 8 years old. I don't remember exactly how old I was, but I remember going out and I'm just feeling sick. And I went to my mom's. My mom, I'm not feeling well. So I went, and there was a park bench right out there on the 105 degree asphalt there, and laid down on my mom's lap. And within just a few minutes, I had gone ahead and I had emptied everything that I had eaten that day, which was probably a considerable amount. And so here I am on the sidewalk, you know, on this asphalt area, lying there with my mom on a bench. What I didn't need from her at that point was to say, "Son, I am establishing some boundaries for you right now. You are never to go into one of these things again. They are off limits for you forever." Now, hopefully, eventually, if I wanted to go back, she would establish a fence or a boundary. But you know, the thing that I needed most from my mom right there was her presence. And there are times in life where the thing that we need more than answers, the thing that we need more than an understanding of what the fences are, what the right thing and the wrong thing is simply the presence of someone. And I think that that's essentially what God does for us in the person of Jesus. Is Jesus draws near to us so that we can draw near to God. He digs a well. And so if you ask a question, what does this look like in practice, two things that I would give to you to apply this to your life in terms of how we draw near to God, two of the most basic ways that we do it. The first is we draw near through the Word, the written Word. The reason this is significant is because the written Word that we have here, the Scriptures, they reveal the living Word, Jesus. John 1, I just want to read this to you in verse 1 of John 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So who is the Word here? Verse 14 tells us, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of two things, grace and truth." John testified about Him and cried out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for He existed before me.' For of His fullness we have all received grace upon grace." In verse 17, "The law was given through Moses. The fence was built through Moses. Grace and truth came into being through Jesus." The way that we draw near to the Father is through the Son, Jesus. He'll go on to say in verse 18, that Jesus has fully explained or fully revealed God. Jesus will say of Himself, "If you want to see the Father, take a look at me." And so when we draw near to Jesus, we have to draw near through the Word. And specifically in these verses here, we find that we draw near to truth. And the important thing about truth is that the truth steers us in the right direction. One of the fascinating things about Jesus is when He came, He didn't disassemble. He didn't tear down everything that had been created before Him. And so Jesus, when He's talking to a woman who had been caught in adultery, He didn't say to her, "Well, just come and have fellowship, come and have communion, and don't worry about anything else." He said very pointedly to the woman, "Go and sin no more." He didn't condemn. He didn't bring condemnation upon her, but he clarified for her that there was the importance of her living under the umbrella of truth. And if she was going to get close to Jesus, part of that well meant that she got close to truth and she lived according to that truth. This is important to note in our day because truth is something that I think in every generation, but especially in our generation, truth is something that troubles you before it transforms you. Oftentimes it's the case that truth will trouble you before it transforms you. There's an old preacher from years ago, Adrian Rogers, he said the gospel of Jesus, it will first make you mad, then it will make you sad. But if you'll let it, ultimately it will make you glad. And what Jesus does for us in coming to this world is he communicates truth to us. He's the embodiment of truth, the truth coming into the world that we would live according to it. And so if you want to draw near to Jesus, you have to draw near to the truth. But the second thing is, and this is so important, you have to draw near to grace. Jesus was the perfect embodiment of both grace and truth. He didn't turn away from one and toward the other. He was the perfect embodiment of both. And so grace is essentially this idea that we couldn't be good enough for God, so God had to come and be good enough for us. He did for us what we couldn't do on our own. He dug a well because we were not able to stay within the fences. When Jesus gave his life on the cross, he was inviting every person to come and connect with him. And so the Word is the place where we find truth. The Word is the place where we find grace, both of which are significant for us if we're going to commune with Jesus. The second way that we can draw near, not only through the Word, but secondly through prayer. We read in Hebrews 4:16. That we're to approach God's throne with confidence. Because the writer will say that it is a throne of grace. So in your personal life, if you're in a place where you wonder, okay, what does it mean for me to connect with God in a meaningful way? Well, there are two basic steps that you can take. First, understanding that the reason Jesus came was so that you could draw near to the Father. And then understanding that you could go to the Word, commune with Jesus through the Word, but then go directly to the throne of God, not because of your goodness, but because of the goodness of Jesus. If you think about any strategy that an enemy would have, the primary core strategy that he would have is to disconnect you from your source of power, disconnect you from your source of life. You look at it in a marriage, he wants to divide. You look at it in a family, he wants to divide. You look at it in a church, he wants to divide. The plan, the strategy of the enemy, core thing number one is to get you disconnected from your Father. And Jesus drew near to us so that we could draw near to God. That is not a message just for Zacharias, just for Mary. It is a message for shepherds. It is a message for mechanics. It is a message for teachers. It is a message for doctors. It is a message for stay-at-home moms. It is a message for every person in Douglas County that the heart of God is to have you near to Him. This passage, interestingly, if you look at the shepherds and their response in the end, beginning in verse 17, after they go and they see Jesus directly, they see this baby in the manger. There's confirmation. The angel wasn't lying to them. I want you to see how they responded in verse 17. It said, when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. Verse 20. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. You know, I grew up in Oklahoma, and we were in a pretty rural area. And in Oklahoma, fences are just part of life. If you want to go pretty much anywhere, you've got to go across a cattle guard, or you've got to climb a fence. And so I grew up, fences were everywhere. They kept cattle in, kept cattle out, kept horses in, kept horses out. And so in the place where I grew up, we had some acreage, and we would go out and play and do various things as a kid. And so we had fences at our house, but not once did I ever call my buddies. Not once did my friends ever call me and say, "Hey, can you come and admire my fence?" There was never an occasion where I said, "Hey, come over. We've got this new 6-strand fence, and it is really nice, and look at the barbed wire on it." There was never a point that I said, "Come look at the fence. Come climb the fence. Come play on the fence." It never happened. The purpose of a fence is not to draw you close. The purpose of a fence is to keep you in. God has given us fences. And for that we say, "Thank you, Father." He has sent the law. He has sent His commands. He has sent His rules because He loves us to keep us in. So there was never a time that I invited somebody over to play on a fence. Because that's not the purpose of a fence. But you know, every spring without fail, along about the end of April, early May, nights start warming up a little bit, water's still pretty icy. Every spring without fail, I would call my buddies, or my buddies would call me, or after baseball practice, we would say, "Hey, let's go up to Granny's bathtub. Let's go to the Bluff Hole. Let's go to Wholesome Creek Bridge." Those are swimming locations, if you're not familiar with LaFleur County. Every spring without fail, we would invite each other into these swimming environments. Why? Because they were wells that we wanted to go and enjoy. I just want you to stop for a second and just consider. That if you've been viewing God primarily as a fence builder, He's given you commands and He's given you rules and He's given you laws, thank Him for that. So God, thank you that you care for me enough to set some clear boundaries. Thank you that you care enough to help me understand the difference between sin and righteousness. That you love me enough that you want to see me succeed and prosper. But if that's the only familiarity you have of God, and you think about Him primarily as a fence builder, I would just open you up to consider this morning the reality that God hasn't just come and built a fence. God has come and He's dug a well. In that little town of Bethlehem, some 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was born, God was digging a well. So that people at Grace Chapel some 2,000 years later could draw near to the Father. And this Christmas season, the thing that I would say to you is be grateful for the fences. Know that God has established those. But draw nearer to Jesus because He is the well. Let's pray. Father, I thank You this morning for the truth of Jesus. I thank You that He has come into this world. We see in Luke 14, Luke 15, just all through the Scriptures, we see this repeated pattern of people drawing near to Jesus. And I pray this morning for every person who is here. If they're already a follower of Yours, they're inside the fence. They're in Your family. They're born again. I pray that they would lay hold of James 4:8, that they would draw near to You, that You would draw near to them, and they would lay hold of that promise. And I pray for the person who is wandering, not sure what Your heart for them is, feeling as if in terms of their location, they are far, far away from You. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that they this morning would focus more on their direction than their location. That they would say, "I don't have everything figured out, but I know this, that I need Jesus. And I'm going to begin moving toward Him, walking toward Him, because I know this, that He has already moved toward me." We pray this together in the name of Jesus. Amen. Every week we invite you to respond to the preaching of the Word. And this morning, there are one of two ways essentially that you can respond. If you're already a follower of Jesus, but you feel as if you're a little bit dry, that you're disconnected from God because you know that you're inside the fence. You've been born again. You've been saved. You know that. But you've not been drawing close to the well. Then this morning is just an invitation for you to say, Jesus, this Christmas season, I want to remember that you came near to us so that we could draw near to the Father. And secondly, if you're here and you've never become a follower of Jesus, you're still on the outside of the fence, then here's the thing that God wants for you. He wants you to just to confess and acknowledge that you've steered away. You've gone outside of the fence. You've sinned. And God, through the person of Jesus, offers you forgiveness. He offers you restoration. If you place your faith in Him, you repent of your sins. That's what God's heart is for you, to begin your journey toward the well, Jesus. Let's stand together. We're going to sing a song of invitation, a song of response. So if God is stirring anything in your heart, right now is an opportunity for you to respond however He would lead.